Okay, I want to talk about reactive programming, which recently has been associated a lot with the web, but I think it's a more general technique than that. Reactive programming has a bit in common with the observer pattern that Manfred was talking about earlier, in the sense that you're sort of linking things that are inputs that are changing with things that depend on them, which change as a consequence, but in a kind of semi-automatic way. So it's a technique where you specify relationships between inputs to a system and things that depend on those inputs. And you could think of it as like taking the idea of using invariants to prove properties of a system and kind of turning it around, where you'd specify the invariants and the code to do the updates falls out. Kind of automatically. And you could also think of it as being a bit like spreadsheets, where you basically stick in a load of formulas to calculate certain things from other things that they depend on, but sort of pulling that out of the grid structure and putting it into a more general kind of form. I started looking at this a while ago. I used to work on fairly complex financial trading systems. And at that time I was working in mostly in C++. And we had things like screens where you might have half a dozen different input areas on the screen and lots of stuff that depended on them that would be updated when you change these things. And some of the calculations that were involved in that updating could be really quite heavy. Some of them involved database accesses, but also calls to other remote systems that we didn't have control over, my group. Some of these things could be quite slow. So you might change something and it might take a second or two for other things to update. So you really didn't want to make these calls to external systems unless you really, really needed to. And this was also quite complicated code that had been built up for over quite a number of years by lots of different people. Typically, I'll just kind of try and give a kind of simplified example of the kind of things that happen. So if you assume that you've got some kind of system like an interactive screen where you've got, say, three input fields, A, B, C, and from those you calculate three intermediate values, M, N, N, M, N, O, and then from those you calculate a couple of output values, X and Y. So the dependencies are as shown there, so that M depends on A and B, N depends on B and C, and so on. Now, typically, the way this kind of code gets written is that somebody says, well, okay, you've got this input field A, so we've got a handler for that, so when it changes, we have to go off and recompute M and then X because that depends on that. And then you have another field, and if that changes, okay, we have to go and recompute this thing and this thing and this thing. And as this grows, once you get up to sort of a fair number of fields, the complexity of this code to try and update everything that depends on all the inputs can get very tangled and quite hard to follow. And I've seen real life examples of where somebody came in and updated something and didn't follow all of the necessary consequences of that and ended up not doing things correctly. So the idea of reactive programming is to skip all of that and just define the dependencies, what depends on what, and then have the system work out the necessary sequence of updates by itself. Which can give you quite a bit simpler code and also more more correct, and sometimes more efficient as well. One of the things that can, one of the traps you can fall into when you're sort of writing this kind of stuff in a procedural fashion is that typically you'll tend to sort of bundle some of the updates into procedures, subroutines, whatever. But sometimes they overlap. You have something that affects this thing and that thing, and they both affect something else, and they end up doing the updates to the later thing twice, which is just a bit of a mess. So originally I wrote something to do this in C++, and more recently I've been sort of re-implementing the same idea in Tickle. So what I've done is building on Tickle OO to define a class called Reactive to represent a value which is reactive in the sense that it can depend on other things and therefore reacts to changes in those other things. So this is what the syntax of the thing looks like. React creates a variable. That's a command, really. Well, it's an object. Just running it by itself gives you back its value, if it has a value. You can define it as being a fixed value. You can define it as being an expression that gets evaluated when needed, or you can define it with a block of code that gets run to generate the value. So at this point, I want to try and do a little demonstration. Hold on, how do I get out of this? Sorry. So, I just type React S. Just create an object called S. Now I run it. It says it doesn't have a value. So I can give it a value. So, and let's create another one, which is going to be some calculated number. Oop. Sorry. Okay, so if I ask for that, I get back 6. And let's do another one. Which is going to be a little piece of code. So far, nothing very exciting, really. But if I now go back and change the number, just say n equals 5, ask for r again. So it's now 5 repetitions rather than 6. Now I'm going to just change. I'm going to just change that number again to something that will give a little bit of trace of what's going on. So I'm going to say. Okay, now I've asked for the result again. It doesn't like that because I haven't defined M yet. But notice that before it said that, it did the puts showing that it's running, that it ran that thing. If I just do the same thing again, you get back the error message, but you don't get the output because it didn't bother running it again because it's cached or memoized the fact that it failed. And it knows that nothing has changed. Therefore, there's no point running it again because I know it's going to fail. Just give me back the error message. So now let's change that and define M. So we say react M equals 3. So. Okay, now we're going to ask for R again. Oops, sorry, what happened there?
My guess would be that because M wasn't yet defined when we first used it, it didn't make the connection to look for some M. That would be my theory.
No,
so maybe we would have had to define React M before we define N?
No, it shouldn't.
It's just a question.
You might be right, actually. Yeah, you could be right, actually, yeah.
That was Andreas.
So how can I? I think you are right. let me just redo the end definition, and it should. Okay. Okay, that's kind of working. So that ran there, and you see the calc thing showing that it recalculated. So it recalculated the thing. You run it again, you get the output without the trace. And if I know it now, just say if I change M, where is it? Okay, if I change M from, M right now is 3, so if I make it 2 instead, and then get R again, it redoes the calculation, comes out with something shorter, run it again, it's still there. Now, finally, if I now change the string, I just say S equals X, Y, Z, Z. Okay, and again, go back to R. Notice that the output here changes, but you don't get the calc thing coming out because the expression that would, it knows that the numerical calculation wasn't affected by changing the string part because it's tracking where the dependencies have gone. So the string bit got redone, but the numerical bit is still valid, so that it didn't have to recalculate that. All of this is kind of trivial, but it only really becomes worthwhile when each of these steps is something that has a significant cost, that takes resources, takes a significant amount of time. In that case, then it does start to pay off to keep track of these kind of relationships. So that's kind of the point I'm trying to make. Let me just go back here. And that's current state of the thing, but it's kind of a work in progress. I'd really like to. I was hoping to be able to show a more serious example, but I haven't got to that stage yet. Because when I try to create one, I find that I actually need some better way of handling kind of aggregate data, like a whole array or dict of stuff, where you can do the tracking at the level of individual elements. And I've made a few attempts at doing that, but I haven't really got anything that really works properly yet, so I'm still working on that. I'd want to have a mechanism to connect this stuff up with ordinary variables so that you could use it to hook into the text variable on a widget, so that you can hook in directly to elements in a TK GUI. And that's about it, I think. Yeah.
Thank you, Colin. Are there any questions?
Do you store? My name is Marcus.
Hi.
Are you storing the fact whether a variable is a scalar or is a calculated value? Because I have an idea in mind for which to use Reactical, but I would like to just dump all the scalar values out into a file and calculate the rest from it when loading the file back in again.
Yeah, that should be That should be doable, I would think. Yeah. The code for this is on the wiki. I just put it there a few days ago. It's at the moment it's just within each reacticle object. There's just a few variables that keep track of whether, well, there's a script variable, one of the fields in the object. If it's something that's calculated, then it has a script associated with it, which can be rerun to recalculate it. If it's just a constant, then it wouldn't have a script associated with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds good, yeah?
Hope so.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Me and Andreas again. The question is, what if you have a cyclic dependency? Will it just crash or does it detect it?
It's a good question. Yeah. There is, I actually have a check in there to detect cyclic dependencies. There's a flag to check for that, yeah.
But you find it out when you use it, not when you create the cyclic.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Here's Harold. My question is, would it be a good idea to put it in TCL/lib?
Maybe. I mean, as I said, it's still a work in progress at the moment. But yeah, that could be a possibility.
So for me, this looks really useful, at least in my app, where people are adding lots of little extensions, and they often write extensions that clobber other people's extensions.
Yes.
Or they go before or after. And I'm wondering, is there a way where if I were to add some code that says when this variable changes, I want to be changed, but not clobber anyone else? So it looks like right now you would be replacing someone else's, you're saying this depends on these things, and now if I want to add to that. You're doing a lepend of another dependency. In other words, someone else has set up all their own dependencies,
yeah.
Right? There's a variable there, and all these other people are saying, if this happens, run my code. Yeah. And I want to just add mine to all that without messing up anyone else's.
I didn't go into the details of how this stuff works. It's not really if this thing changes, then run my code. There's a Wikipedia article about reactive programming. They talk about sort of push and pull, where push is like when the input changes, then you push that change through the chain of dependencies, and pull is when you ask for something and it sort of goes backwards. This is kind of a combination, what they call push-pull. When the input changes, it follows the chain of dependencies, but it doesn't recalculate things. It just marks the currently calculated values as being invalid. So the next time you ask for them, they will need to be recalculated. So it doesn't actually, all that happens when you change the input is that you just mark all the stuff that depends on it.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
The question I have is, if I want to add my own dependencies, new dependencies, will I accidentally clobber other people's dependencies too?
No. I mean, if you define something that uses some existing value, then when your thing gets calculated, it will be added to the list of things that depend on that original variable. So that when that original variable changes, you will get a notification that says, this thing has changed, it's no longer valid. Mm-hmm. But your thing will only get recalculated when you actually ask for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it would be possible to, I guess, specify the chain, the point at which, or do you, in other words, let's say you depend on one thing which causes another thing which causes another thing, you would just put your dependency as far down as you can? Does that make sense?
That's fine.
And maybe I'll talk to you at lunch about it.
Yeah, sure, okay.
Thanks, that was John. Okay. John Buckham.
Right. Better let...
how general is your dependency management? I mean, is it possible, for example, to use this whole thing not only for computing values, but as something like a make facility?
Yes, probably. There are values, and it is working with values, but you could have a value which is just a kind of a placeholder or a handle for something else, for something else happening. Not sure how to expand on that. I mean, the basic idea is quite similar to make, really, except that it's sort of all happening within one process.
I mean, on the make, you have an external whatever artifact created, which is afterwards triggering maybe other updates. If it's just, it's not only about variable. I mean, maybe it's possible to map everything from your make structure into tickle variables or into tickle objects in this case. But the question is, I guess, if the dependency management, in terms of creating dependencies, updating, trigger operation, whatever, if this is general enough, one can have, let's say, a different, let's say, backend. What happens if dependencies are triggered?
Mm-hmm. Well, it does depend on the operations that. In the expression of the script that you specify, it will only register dependencies on things that are themselves reactive objects. But you could have reactive objects that kind of represent other things, perhaps, like files, perhaps. I'm not very sure about that at the moment.
Okay, thanks, Gustav, for your question. We are running late, so one last question from Rolf. And
hello, I'm Rolf Ade. What happens if you have cycling dependencies?
I think that was asked already. There is a cycle detection mechanism, but yeah, it will only detect that when you actually. When it's executed, and it'll just give you back an error in that case. Well, it will try to execute, but when it gets back to the starting point, and it will give you an error at that point. Yeah.
Thanks, Colin.
Okay.